Okay, so the big one here is Reader's Choice, where we have a definitive winner. If you appreciate this kind of programming where you get to hear about books, you're going to hear winners like this. This book is going to be available along with this brand new Minnesota Vintage Plum t-shirt when you pledge $15 a month or above at 800-662-5799. Okay, so let's be sort of teasy on this, okay?
Okay.
So some of the comments about the book.
Yeah, one comment was that just simply it was beautifully written. Another comment is it's about the art of carving out a life to be exactly what you want. And that is so inspirational, I think. And a final comment is, this might give it away, maybe. This final comment, this book made me equal parts hungry for lots of comfort food and reflective on the choices I've made in my own life.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Tammy, you get to, we need to do something here, John. Some sort
Yeah,
of
I'm
drum
just,
roll.
I, yeah.
Okay, Tammy, you get to announce the winner of the
And the
Reader's
winner
Choice.
is.
That's right. Open up,
All
struggle with
right.
that envelope here.
Yeah, it's actually on my laptop,
Okay.
but we can pretend it's an envelope. And the winner is Give a Girl a Knife, and that is by Amy Thielen, who is a local Minnesotan. So we're kind of happy that this came up in this category. And she is a chef, TV cook, two-time James Beard Award-winning author. Author of The New Midwestern Table, and Give a Girl a Knife is Amy Thielen's memoir of growing up in Minnesota and taking on some of the finest restaurants in New York, and then returning to her culinary roots here. Amy is a finalist in the upcoming 2018 Minnesota Book Awards as well in the category Memoir and Creative Nonfiction.
Now, this is pretty exciting. Another cool thing about Amy Thielen is she's a member of Northern
Yeah.
Community Radio, and we get to tell her she won. You won, Amy!
Hi. I've been listening in the wings. I don't know when to pop in. Exciting. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Now,
Very
Tammy,
thrilling.
oh, this is thrilling for us because we didn't, I mean, we expected it. I loved your book, but we left this wide open for people to vote in. And Tammy, you recently just read Give a Girl a Knife, right?
I've been hearing so much about it, and it's been great to finally pick it up and read it. Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Amy first. Give a Girl a Knife. When did you get your first real, true, like cook, chef's knife?
Oh, when did I get my real knife? It's in the book where I get a really nice knife through my first professional job when I was working in New York City. Well, actually, my first job cooking, I have to say, is at the Schwarzwald Inn in Park Rapids, Minnesota, Main Street, But I didn't get a really fancy knife there. It was in New York when I was working with, a lot of really amazing chefs and, the big clunky, Wusthof wasn't cutting it anymore. So I went and got like this beautiful Japanese knife, and it's a carbon steel knife that's easy to sharpen, so it's soft, which also means it could chip or it can be, it can take some bumps, but I still have it. It's a fabulous knife. It sharpens up so easily. I love it.
So, Amy, when you get a new knife like that, an expensive knife like that, do you ship it out to have somebody sharpen it, or is it something you're not going to let anybody else touch?
I wouldn't know where to go with it, Like, I bought it at this Japanese knife shop called Korin in Lower Manhattan, and that was kind of where everybody, all the chefs in New York City would go, and it was just all Japanese knives. And so Japanese knives, they're sharp on one side. They're honed really, like a ridge on one side. And the other side's almost flat. So to sharpen those, I use a water stone that, I soak, and then I do it myself, for sure. But, my husband's a wood carver, and so he actually sharpens chisels, which are Japanese chisels, which is weird, right? We're out here with our sharpening stone. So he can sometimes hone it for me, but I usually do it myself.
I don't want to get away from the book, but why is one side sharp and one side not? Do you like angle it or something?
They're not equally sharp. They're not equal. The angles aren't equal. Why? I don't know exactly, but it's very sharp. I mean, I don't know. I love the way that they cut. They're lighter. Japanese knives are lighter. We could go on about knives.
Yeah, but we don't want to talk
about
knives.
Well, I'm all about the knives.
So, Amy, I'm kind of lazy in the kitchen, so I have one of those things where you can just run your knife through it. Is that like the worst thing you could do?
It's fine for, you know, a knife that's honed that way, you know, where the ridges or the angles are that way. But for the Japanese knife, no.
Okay.
So, no. Yeah. But, yeah, the regular, I guess, I don't know. My grandma used to have this, like, she used to sharpen her knives on the steel. And then she would have this long piece of leather that hung from the cupboard. And she would, like a strop, you know, they used to call a strop. And she would just, like, run that knife on that. And that would make it really sharp.
Yeah, back and
forth. I think you need one of those. That's what you need.
Wow, it sounds like you had no choice about what you were going to do in life if your grandma was doing that you were going to become this.
I know, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I didn't think that I would become a chef, though. I really didn't. I mean, my intention was, you know, I went to school. I thought I would become like a professor. If I hadn't met Aaron, I probably would be teaching English somewhere. I would. I think I would. That was my only idea. That's all I had. And I still love it. I love words, and but what I do kind of really calls on that now, because I'm doing a lot of like editing of myself and doing a lot of writing now. But I really just couldn't. I didn't really have the motivation at that young age to follow through on a lot of things. And also, I took this detour into the woods where I came back here, up, you know, back north, and we were living like hippies for 3 years with no electricity and. I mean, it was a great detour, you know, and that's when the cooking bug really, really took hold of me. And so it changed my path.
We're talking with Amy Thielen. She is the winner of the Reader's Choice and the first annual KAXE KBXE wow. Book Awards. Amy, you get a T-shirt for this, the new T-shirt that's the state of Minnesota on the front and KXE on the back. And it's in vintage plum, which I'm sure will look great on you.
Thanks. Yes. I'm so excited. Thanks so much to everybody who has read the book locally and likes the book and voted for it.
So I read your cookbook and cooked recipes out of there, but you had lots of stories mm-hmm. in there, so I wasn't surprised that you were going to write a memoir. Yeah. But how is it different, the process between that? Because they're very different books.
They are different books. They even almost have slightly different voices in which I wrote them. I mean, every book, and now I'm starting a third book, I feel like every book kind of has its own little voice, like its own character. It's weird. But, you know, the cookbook was kind of an anthology of, like, the best of the best cooking from the Midwest and mostly the upper Midwest, and then a lot of family stories as well. But, you know, this book, for one thing, I knew that I had to have at least a few swear words in the memoir because I'm writing about the kitchen in New York City. I mean, just not possible, you know, to keep it clean. I mean, not that it's not bad or anything, but I picked and chose. But, you know, it's a different tone. It's like the process of writing it is digging a lot deeper. I had to really think about, you know, not just the course of my life, but like the trajectory. How does it make a story? And how did I really feel? Because, you know, sometimes it's easy enough just to kind of look in the past and say, oh, it was like this, or you kind of lie to yourself, you know? You make up these stories to tell yourself that are convenient. And then when you really go back and you're writing it down, you're like, oh, no, that's not quite true, you know? So you really, it's kind of a reckoning with yourself, and it's sometimes a lot of hard truth. But in the end, I feel like I'm just really glad that I went through it, and I'm really glad that I was able to make an actual story out of my life, you know?
Amy, this is Tammy. We've talked about knives. We've talked about writing. Let's talk about some food.
Yeah.
You mentioned in this book how potatoes and onions are a foundation in cooking. Can you explain more about this?
Yeah, that comes from when I was working on the line in a fancy restaurant, my first restaurant in New York City called Danube. And I was really taken with like all these things I'd never seen before. You know, like there was foie gras and truffles and, you know, I'm from northern Minnesota. Like I didn't grow up with truffles. We didn't have them. And I didn't even know what truffle oil was like. So there were all these like really, really high-end ingredients, international kind of European stuff. And I remember I was kind of like not paying attention to some of the basics at that point because I was so taken and enamored with what was new to me. And one of the sous chefs was like, listen, good cooking is potatoes and onions, you know? Mm. He kind of like said, don't screw up the basics, you know, like potatoes and onions, that's like a real, these are backbone ingredients and you can do so incredibly many different, variety of things to potatoes or onions or eggs, you know. I mean, these are the cornerstones of cooking. You can't, you can cook onions in butter probably 6 different ways to start a soup or a sauce. And, you know, depending on whether you caramelize them or keep them blonde or, you know, whatever you do, it will change the way that dish is at the end, you know. So those things are very foundational.
So, Amy, let's go back to your grandma with the leather strap in the kitchen or wherever that strap was. I don't remember, but I remember my grandma growing up in Jordan, Minnesota, and she made the greatest potato soup on the face of the earth. And I'm just wondering if your grandma had any influence on you as far as making food.
Oh, absolutely. I write a lot about my grandma. You know, it's funny. She made a lot of stuff, but it was really the way that she kind of presented the food. Everything was kind of mythical, you know, in her orbit. It was like, this is the best, you know. This is the best. These are the best. Steel and hot dogs are the best hot dogs, which they are. But, you know, everything that we ate as children was just like, just she imbued it with like all this, almost like a royal kind of feeling. And that was just the way she is. But also she was extremely detailed and picky. You know, she would drive 15, 20 miles to go get butter at this little town called Little Rock from the creamery. You know, she made her own bread, and she won the state fair for her bread. And it was all the simple things done really well that really made a huge impression on me. And then later on when I went to cook professionally, it was, you know, the love is in the details, you know. And so that was what I had been taught to appreciate by my grandma and my mom, was really to look at food and kind of, with what they call a jaundiced eye, you know, kind of like, boy, is that good butter? Is that good bread? What about this? It's a little bit salty, you know, it was like we're kind of like Italians or something, you know, discussing just the really simple stuff.
Did you learn anything about yourself after writing your memoir?
Yeah, I learned a lot about myself. I mean, I learned a lot about what it takes for me to motivate. And I kind of put things through that lens, you know. And I learned a lot about my relationship with Aaron, because he's very much a part of the book. And I realized that we've set off on a pretty crazy adventure. We've been together for over 20 years now. And we just kind of follow what we want to do, and in a very pragmatic way, with practicality at every step, but it doesn't look like it on the outset. From the outside, it looks like a little bit of a crazy thing, you know, live in the woods with no electricity, move to New York City very suddenly. All that kind of stuff sounds crazy, but once I started to really write about it and unpack it, it's like, no, we had a plan, you know?
So we've heard Aaron on Area Voices. He is an artist, like you said, and...
Yeah, he's a visual artist, sculptor.
Yeah. So why are you guys members of Northern Community Radio?
Oh, we listen to it all the time. I mean, we're here because we don't really hear anything like this anywhere else. I mean, when we have visitors who come here and stay with us from outside, from New York or wherever, we're always like, we have the best radio in this region. You have to listen to it. So we turn it on and we're like, you know, everybody's always amazed by just the variety of music and the fact that, you know, sometimes can turn it on and you're interviewing somebody and it's kind of a quieter interview, and it's very revealing, you know, because you're getting into people's, the what's for breakfast thing is great. Like, I remember listening to, I don't know, you talked to the mayor of Bagley for a while and he was talking about his cat. I love that. I love turning on the radio and hearing, getting into somebody's, you know, sitting down at somebody else's breakfast table.
Yeah,
really.
Well,
cool.
My dream is we get Aaron as a host on Back Porch Harmony spinning records.
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't that be fun?
He should. He's an awesome DJ.
Yeah, I think that'd be great fun. So we sure appreciate you being a member. And again, congratulations, Amy Thielen, and the award-winning book. Good luck in the Minnesota Book Awards. Not as prestigious as ours,
no,
of course.
No, not even close.
You guys have a seal I can put on the book?
Oh, we'll work on that. John, you can work on the seal.
Yeah.
Okay. And remember, Frances McDormand got her Oscar stolen.
She kinda did?
Yeah, I mean, but she got it back. Yeah, it was stolen. Some guy, just be careful with your shirt, will you?
Yeah, that would be terrible. Someone stole my shirt out of my bag. I don't think so.
Well, Amy, thanks a lot, and congratulations
Thank
again.
Thank you.